the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Sometimes it's not about how you speak, but how you email. We've all done it, spent hours drafting an email and then wondered why we never get a response or ended up entwined in a thread of emails trying to figure out what exactly we're being asked to do. And then there's the bulging inboxes of unread mail. So what is the most effective way to write and manage emails? Sarah Geraghty from the Communications Clinic is here to advise us on how to lighten this modern workload. Sarah, first of all, how do you manage your own email?
Richard, it depends if you're asking about my personal email or my professional email inbox. I'm afraid to tell you that there's about 6,500 unread emails in my personal email account, but the Communications Clinic shouldn't worry about that. I have set up a system for myself which started off with taking some time off in the week. And I mean, this was about 6 weeks ago and I took about 2 hours to go through all the emails in my inbox. That set me up then. I'm not looking for zero emails in my inbox, but I'm not looking for email chaos or anarchy either. So what I do is I probably take now about 10 to 15 minutes every morning or in the evening, if I'm feeling energetic enough, to go through the emails and decide what needs to be deleted and what needs to be replied to immediately.
So you did the sort of 2 hours heavy lifting and then you can trim it on an ongoing basis after that.
Absolutely.
And you can't face the 6,000 personal ones.
I'm not going to go near them.
Too much.
I'm not going to go near them. That's dead to me.
What about writing an effective email? What are the tips there?
The tips there, Richard, are the same for effective communications, I would say, whether it's verbal or written. I think people don't pay enough attention to the subject line of an email, but that comes from not having clarity around the objective or the purpose of the email in the first place. So I need to know what I need you to do or act on or think by the time that email has been read by you. And I don't see enough clarity on that at all when I'm working with people on writing skills.
But how can you manage that in words? For example, I'm thinking about response. You need something done and you might want a person to come back within the next 2 days on something, or you might need a person to come back. You start flagging stuff as urgent and you come across as
well. I worked with a firm recently and they had the great idea to mark every email, every urgent email as urgent. And sure, that's like the boy who cried wolf. Nothing is urgent when everything is urgent. So I think what really needs to be marked in the subject line is the action. So what's the ask? I would say the most common pitfall that people encounter when it comes to writing emails.
Is it a bit ballsy though to
I
go
think
with
we
urgent?
Need to be ballsy. I think the fact that on average we're spending, according to Microsoft, 57% of the workday on emails and other communications like WhatsApp and Teams means we need to be explicit in our communications.
Do you find you're becoming maybe a bit more ballsy about this?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even call it ballsy. I just call it direct and to the point. There's a great acronym that was coined by the US military, if you'd believe it, BLUF, that's really helpful. And BLUF stands for bottom line up front. Their point is that if they don't communicate the bottom line up front, people can die. In this world that we are living in, where we are under constant bombardment from emails, I don't see it as that much different. I would communicate with the bottom line up front.
Is it the case that what we really want, particularly on group email threads, is for people to send fewer emails? That would help enormously.
It would help enormously if people were clear, first of all, what the objective is. Sometimes it can feel counterintuitive or counterproductive. Sometimes it's more productive to send more emails than just one. So rather than copying all 10 people on the email where it turns into a fuzzy mix of four-year information and a call to action, maybe sending Sarah and Richard one email that has an ask in it. The other group of people, it's an FYI, here's what's happening in the company next week. But I would cut down absolutely on the number
because
of
sometimes
emails.
It can get so complicated that you actually don't know who said what and when and what it is you're expected to
and
do.
And things get lost. And I remember a crowd I was working with during the pandemic and I felt really sorry for the manager, but it was nearly his own fault for not being clear enough on the purpose. It descended into chaos about meeting for cans on the canal during the pandemic because it was essentially, Richard's copied on this as well. Sure, while I have you, we should meet up. I haven't seen you in ages. So what is the point? And am I absolutely crystal clear on what needs to happen by the end of this email? It's not cans on the canal, I'd imagine.
What about sending a holding response? So in other words, somebody wants me to do something. I know I can't get to it quickly. They seem to want it quickly. Should I just sort of park it up and come back to them when I can? Or do I say, Oh, thank you very much for that. I will get back to you and say something vague.
I'd be very, very, very careful on that. If that was me, to be quite honest, I would...
What if you don't know when you can get back?
Well, that's exactly it.
You don't know when you'll have it.
But something mentally can happen where I feel like I've got back to them and then I forget about the actual ask that was in the email. So I would be very, very careful about a boilerplate response just to, you know, kind of satisfy them in the moment. I'd be really careful about that. It's kind of why I take the 10 minutes to delete or to reply immediately or to just have your to-do list maybe written out in your notebook and say, have to reply to Richard with an outline for that project next week, but not writing back because you can make yourself think that you've replied to their ask, but you haven't. And that can lead to bigger troubles for you down the line.
How tricky can all of this get in terms of the workload from emails and meetings and people feeling that they're actually not able to get the time to do their job?
Well, this is, I worked with somebody about a month ago who said that. She works in a research job, so she has office hours and things like that. And she's part of a couple of committees. So she has four or five email accounts. And she said she simply wasn't getting to the work that she had to do during the day. It took her 2 days to clear her email so that she actually could free up her mind. But Adobe did research a few years ago that found people were spending approximately 5 hours a day checking their work emails. So there's a real impact on this. And I think what people really need to be clear on is, am I blocking off dedicated time in my calendar for email management rather than tipping away at it back and forth for the entire day? We cannot multitask. We've convinced ourselves that we can, but I saw someone describe it as trying to vape while you run a mile at the same time. That you can do it, yeah, but your lung or your brain capacity is drastically reduced.
And don't put off till tomorrow what you can put off till next month as well. Sarah Geraghty from the Communications Clinic, thank you very much for joining us.